Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we explore the ideas and structures and strategies for how to make this happen. I try to share stories about things that worked and things that honestly didn't work. And so we're going to dive in today on this concept of a launch. And when we think about having students share their work with an audience, we generally view it as a positive thing. But the reality is, launching your work comes with benefits and it comes with risks. And we need to be honest about both sides of this. The reality is that students are often terrified about launching their work, and there are things that we as a teacher can do to address this. So let's dive right in. I'm gonna start with a brief story about my own experience in high school. So picture this, I'm standing up in front of the class, this awkward, lanky high school kid. I'm a freshman, I'm new to the state of Arizona, it is blazingly hot. And honestly, I don't know anybody in my class. They all know each other. They went to middle school together. Most of them went to elementary school together. And I don't know anyone. Worse still, I am shy, painfully shy. I sometimes have moments where I make up for it by being loud or trying to overcompensate. But deep down inside, I just want to curl up in a ball and hide. The paper rattles in my hand as I attempt to sputter out my first sentence, but nothing comes out. I stop, I take a deep breath, but as I try again, my voice seizes up, no words. My pulse is pounding, my heart is hammering, I can feel the blood rushing to my face, but nothing happens. A few students offer sympathetic glances. A few more begin to whisper, but mostly they just gawk at the train wreck of a speech that I am trying my hardest to deliver. Finally, I get some words out. In this case, it's just two words. I can't, I say. All right, we'll reschedule, the teacher says. That night, I practiced the speech 15 times over in front of the mirror. But even then, my second attempt the next day is nearly as bad. It bombs. Not a little bit, but it truly just tanks. I deliver it in this monotone, flat whisper, and students can barely hear me, and it just isn't working. Now, for the rest of the quarter, I grow incrementally better, just by a bit, but I never feel at ease. The speeches I deliver alone at home are 5 times better than the speeches I am delivering to my classmates. And what's odd is this, the previous year I had pre-recorded a slide presentation and I had shared it to a packed auditorium. But this was different. This was live. This time there were no revisions. There was no editing. I had to stumble forward to get better. Now, in the end, that public speaking class was the hardest B I had ever earned. And it's not because the workload was intense or the assignments were incredibly difficult, but it was just the fact that every single day pushed me outside of my comfort zone. Every single day. All right, so fast forward 25 plus years, and I speak on a regular basis. As a college professor, I often have to speak in front of groups. It's what I do. As a classroom teacher, I had to hone my craft at direct instruction, and I soon had opportunities to lead professional development on things like project-based learning and student blogging and all kinds of different things like that. I've gotten to speak at the White House, different president, thankfully. And this last week, I delivered a keynote to an audience of over 2,000 people. And the week before, I did the same. Although I've rehearsed keynotes privately, everything changes when there's an audience. I grow more animated. My timing and my humor improve. I become a better storyteller. In other words, I come alive when I'm speaking in front of a large group. And the larger the group, the better I am. It is the opposite of my public speaking class. And that's the odd thing. In my freshman public speaking class, having an audience did not improve my performance whatsoever. In fact, it made it dramatically worse. However, when I deliver keynotes or workshops or speak in front of a group of students, I am always going to be better than I am when I'm alone. So why is it that sometimes an audience makes you better, but sometimes it makes things worse? Well, the answer is kind of complicated. It turns out that social psychologists have studied this phenomenon in depth. Novice pool players struggle when they're being watched, while expert pool players perform better. You see it in all kinds of sports. They actually did an experiment with cockroaches, which is disgusting. And they found that when there were other cockroaches watching and they were moving in a straight line, they performed better. But when they did a complicated maze, they did worse. And what they're realizing through all this different research, and they see it in all kinds of different studies. There's one that involves giving people an easy task that they perform in front of a group of students, remembering a string of numbers, for example. And then another one where they have to do these nonsense words and remember them. And what they find is basically when the task is difficult, an audience reduces performance. And that's if you're being watched by spectators or if there's other people in the room doing the same thing as you. Either way, performance goes down if it's complicated. But if the task is easier, you tend to do better. So the idea is that the critical role here is expertise. When you've achieved automaticity with a particular task, you can easily perform better in front of others. The complex task is now part of your muscle memory, and an audience can create this positive peer pressure so that you perform better. But if a task is too new or too complex, the audience can create added pressure. Suddenly, you make ridiculous mistakes that you would never make alone. If you think about the TV show Chopped, you have these chefs who clearly know how to craft amazing dishes. But suddenly they're in front of cameras and judges. They're having to make a more complex dish on a tight time deadline, and they're burning their steak or they're getting an eggshell in their cracked egg. I mean, they know better, but they're making these simple mistakes. That's what happens if the task is too complex and they have to share or perform in front of an audience. Or if you consider your first year of teaching, right? Chances are you taught worse when you were observed. Your voice cracked, your lessons went too fast, you missed the two kids who were talking the whole time. But then when you weren't being observed, you were more natural, you were used to it, you were okay. However, later in your career, you were able to shine under pressure. A principal walked in or a colleague walked in, you could kind of, for lack of a better term, you could put on a show a bit, right? You knew what you were doing, and that being watched actually provided this positive peer pressure where you kind of upped your game a bit. So when you're a novice in a particular craft, you tend to have lower confidence, which leads to lower self-efficacy, which can result in risk aversion. You're more likely to play it safe. So not only are you making more mistakes, you're also taking fewer risks. As a new musician, you might be less likely to improvise when you perform at a cafe, but alone with some trusted friends, you can just jam on the fly and meander through the music and make it up as you go. Meanwhile, if you've mastered a craft, you might be more comfortable taking a creative risk. So that band that you love that's been touring for years, they're the ones who are just improvising in the middle of a concert. They know what they're doing. They've played these songs forever, and they're not really nervous in front of the crowd. While my examples are all about performing in the moment under pressure, right? Things that are very synchronous. We experience the same phenomenon with asynchronous work, the stuff that we do on our own and then share later and as a finished product. When you're new, a launch can feel daunting. You over-edit that blog post, you bite your nails after you press the send button, you agonize over what people will think of the website you created. I think it's important that we remember this reality as we approach the concept of launching with our student design thinking and project-based learning projects, right? The reality is it is powerful to have students launch, but we need to know that a launch can be nerve-wracking, that it can be difficult. I want to specify again, I believe in the power of the launch. I want to see students create projects that they share with an authentic audience. This was a key element of the launch cycle that AJ Giuliani and I developed together as a design thinking framework. As a dad, I see the positive side of public performances. My daughter grew more confident and worked even harder than ever after she had her first dance recital. My boys, new to baseball, thrived under the pressure of hitting and pitching in front of a crowd. And they actually pitched best and hit best in their playoff games and in the All-Star games. As a classroom teacher, I watched students grow more confident and learn how to communicate effectively when they had to pitch their ideas to a committee in a Shark Tank style project. And I think when students launch their work, they grow more empathetic, they learn how to embrace criticism, they become fearless, they work harder, they find their voice, they engage in iterative thinking. In other words, they learn all these valuable soft skills that we want them to have for a lifetime. But at the same time, I think that it's important that they have spaces where they are not sharing their work with an audience. I think it's important that they have times where they journal and where they work privately and things like that. However, at some point, we want them to share their work with an audience. We want them to develop those soft skills. So what do we do? What are things that we as educators can do so that they become less risk averse when they are engaged in a project where they're going to launch it with an audience? So I have some ideas. Here are 7 different strategies for reducing fear within the launch. 1, create a significant revision time. The research is clear that people perform better when they're experts rather than novices. While our students cannot become experts, they just can't. It takes hours and hours and hours. We can address this aspect by increasing the amount of time students have to practice. If it's a speech or a song or a public performance of any kind, they need the time and the space to rehearse privately. But this is also true of asynchronous launches as well. If it's a digital work like a blog or a documentary, they need ample time to revise their project before sharing it with an authentic audience. So again, 1 is more revision time. 2 is play to student strengths. So they might not be necessarily experts, but we do know that if they have high self-efficacy, if they believe that they can do something, there's less fear and there's a higher goal orientation. In other words, when students don't believe that they can do something, so if they have low self-efficacy, they're afraid of a particular task. And they often struggle to accomplish that goal. On the other hand, if there's high self-efficacy, they're more likely to accomplish that goal. So what does this mean? When we have projects for students, play into their strengths. Give them an opportunity to share that hidden strength within a project. This is one of the reasons I love doing Genius Hour projects, because it's an opportunity to play into students' strengths and to say, hey, I'm going to allow you to do an aspect of your project based on your own personal interest and your own ideas and your own strengths. So yeah, you might not be the strongest writer, for example, but you are an expert on what you're writing about. I'm going to play to those strengths and you're going to blog based on your interests. Or, hey, we're doing a documentary project. You struggle a bit with speaking. You're not the best communicator. I'm going to play to your strength and allow you to do some visual editing and incorporate that into what you do, and then take a little bit of risk when it comes to speaking. Number three is to do a private or small group performance first. So this is the idea that before they share their work with an audience, if it's a performance, they practice it in front of small peer groups, and that they gradually and incrementally launch to a bigger group and a bigger group. And this is the whole idea of a dress rehearsal in theater, right? It exists for a reason. Now, when it comes to something like an asynchronous project or product, what this means in terms of a small group or private performance means they might share their work in a writer's workshop. They might share it in using peer feedback. They might do a project first where they are sharing it with another small group or just with the class, and then they move to a place where they can launch it to a larger audience later. Number five, be selective about when and where you launch. So this is the idea of letting students decide which projects and which products deserve a larger audience, and not just going with every single one. And if they get to be a part of it, that leads to number five of student ownership. One of the best ways to reduce fear is to promote student agency. In the launch process, students are the ones who generate questions, engage in research, they come up with a concept for their project, they revise it, they create it. And ultimately, the more they own, the more they have a voice and a choice in what they're doing, the less afraid they become. Because what's happening is they're becoming more and more and more confident. Now, the fear never goes away entirely, and that's okay. That's part of what they have to go through. But just by this act of owning more of it and having more voice and choice, they're able to gain that confidence so that they can get past the fear that they experience. Number six is to examine and explore emotions. Launches can feel terrifying. And honestly, that's normal. Even for adults, that's normal. I am going to be releasing a book in the next couple months, and I'm telling you, I am afraid that people aren't going to like it. I'm afraid of how it'll be received. There's so much fear that we experience. And I think it's important that as educators, we share that fear with our students. We let them know, hey, I'm a little bit afraid of launching my work too, but I'm going to do it. And I want you to do the same thing. And I want you to tell me how you're feeling. And the more you get those emotions out in the open, the better off the students will be in terms of being able to tackle the fear that they experience. And finally, vary the type of launch. In other words, go with both synchronous and asynchronous approaches to your launch. In some cases, students might be able to get past their initial fears by being able to prepare things in advance, right? Making a podcast, a video, a STEM product. And then later they can shift into bigger public performances, a speech, a song, a conversation, a pitch, that idea. In this sense, you're building up to the launch by doing smaller asynchronous launches first and letting them have do-overs and revise their work and make those mistakes before eventually sending something that's a little more polished. In the end, it's not always going to work. Even after reducing fears, there's going to be times where projects fail. And that's okay. We don't always share every work with an audience every single time. But ultimately, at some point, students should have the experience of sharing their work with an authentic audience. Again, it won't always go perfectly. Sometimes voices are going to falter. Their work won't be perfect. But every small stumble is a chance to go back and try again. It's a chance to iterate and improve. And ultimately, when students succeed, they develop that creative confidence that they will need for a lifetime. To me, the biggest benefit for having students face their fears of the launch is what happens inside of them when they conquer their fear. It's what happens when they become more confident, when they become more fearless, and when they develop that growth mindset that they'll need, honestly, for a lifetime. All right. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, wherever you get your podcast? Would you leave a review and maybe tell somebody about this podcast if it's something you enjoy? So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.